Hello, recruit, and welcome back to the M00M Resistance. You are now listening to M00M Theater on the Air. I'm your host, Geographic, and this is Episode 3, Chapter 3, The Departure, Part 1. Chapter 3, The Departure, Part 1. Kevin was sitting as calmly as possible on Goldstar's couch, drinking a makeshift alcoholic beverage. Talks of a plan began to naturally unfold.
All right, so we know Fate's sending backup, which means we have, 15 minutes tops before they get here and start inspecting every last container. Bad news is they definitely have the GPS codes of the guys I just killed. Fuck.
Said Goldstar, in the tone one would expect while devising a master plan.
What do you mean, guys you just killed? So you mean to tell me you made 3 agents and the vision officer vanish in the thin air? Because from what I heard, it sounded a whole lot crazier than some magic wand OG Sorcerer Stone shit.
Remarked Kevin with a bit of unnecessary sarcasm. Goldstar ignored him for a moment in favor of her phone as she typed away into the public relay chat within the BBS. It read, "The blue goo is deaf alive. It's some type of creature. Fate likely knows of its existence. Anyone seeing anything like this?" She hit enter, submitting the message, and turned her attention back to Kev.
Roger. Play security footage. Here's the deal. My shipping container came to life and killed those guys. Just watch. I was standing on top of it and we must have lifted like 20 feet off the ground.
Girl, stop. You obviously suffered trauma to the head. Now we need to come up with a plan to pack our bags and GTFO. Get the fuck out and never come back.
The footage played back on her computer monitor. It managed to pick up the agents, Kevin getting bodied, an agent shooting in the direction of the lens, and then the lens itself turning dark blue and getting even darker, until the point that nothing was visible at all, with the exception of what could arguably be the camera height changing, which could suggest the shipping container was lifting off the ground.
Damn it.
Goldstar moaned.
Roger, upload the footage anyway. I still want to post it.
Roger, said Roger.
Look, Gold, thanks for saving my life. I mean that, for real. But you don't got a plan, so I'ma just bounce. Cause we got about 5 minutes until we're either dead, chipped, or worse. And who knows what these shipheads gonna do to us.
And then, just as Kevin committed to leaving, the virtual assistant Roger gained a startlingly powerful new level of intellect as it captured the attention of the room and made an announcement with far too much confidence.
Goldstar, Kevin, don't panic. I'm going to turn off the lights. There's something you need to see, but I repeat, please don't panic.
The lights turned off, and just like when she had first woken up, the shipping container walls glowed blue. This was Kevin's first time witnessing the phenomenon. And although he didn't say anything out loud, he thought to himself that he was certainly dreaming. Like, this whole thing just had to be a bad dream. Partnered with the glow, the ostensible M00M graffiti graphic that was previously visible on the outside of the container was now visible on the inside wall. It pulsed neon blues and pinks. Furthermore, it didn't take a genius to understand that it wasn't actually spray paint. And, as one of the zeros blinked, it became more clear that it was some sort of life form, the face of a life form. And not only that, but a life form capable of speaking. A new voice broadcast from the speaker of the goo-assimilated Roger Home Assistant.
Hello, friends.
Like I said, it's alive.
She raised her eyebrow as her body language also questioned reality. Were her and Kev both in some type of weird dream? Had she hit her head during all of the commotion?
Hi, please accept my sincerest apologies if I frightened you when my tonsecculars grappled and eliminated the hostiles. I saw they were a threat to both your home and your friend, and assessed that they had to be tempered down. Well, eliminated.
Offered the Moom, with a fairly proper and oddly friendly British accent.
So, what are you?
Goldstar asked, and before the Moom could respond, she was met with swift skepticism as Kevin barked.
For real? You're gonna ask what are you? Like that's the first question? I got so many fucking questions, including one for you, Goldie. Now how do we know this slimy, glowing electronic space creature that apparently just killed an entire unit of highly trained Fate agents isn't gonna shove his tonsils or whatever the hell he just called them right up in us like a probe, wiggle it around, harvest our organs, and feed it to the babies it's nursing inside of his slime womb? And then him and his boys are gonna beam down from planet what the fuck and unleash all hell on one world.
The M00M took a moment and blinked a few times. Confused and unfamiliar with the human saying in principle, no good deed goes unpunished, he said,
Kevin, do you mind if I call you Kev? If my calculations are correct, we have exactly 3 minutes before more of those really unpleasant people come searching for us. I promise I won't eat you. I don't actually eat organic compounds, and your kind aren't exactly Guamelian Doritos. Like you, I don't want to be captured, because I'm fairly certain whatever they do to me would be far worse than what they might do to you. So what do we do next? Look, I'm not fully acclimated with how things work on this planet, or even what's immediately outside of this general vicinity.
Considering the strange nature of everything that had transpired, Goldstar knew deep within her core that her time to become a true leader was now. Whatever was happening was important, a moment unlike anything else in the history of the world. Not only did she seem to be the first human to make contact with an alien life form, which was directly embedded into her container home and referring to her by name, it also appeared that the two now shared a vested interest, escaping and hopefully destroying fate. Her mind was temporarily seized by endorphins as she slipped into a daydream of sorts. What felt like hours was actually mere seconds as she flashed back, remembering all of the hardships she and her family had endured during the Third World War and the chipping. Everything she had to sacrifice to avoid conforming to the system. All of the difficulties that had gone into adapting and learning how to survive outside of the Fate Clarity system. To freely live off the grid beyond the technocratic control. Her vision ended, drenched in feelings of warmth and light, as she blurrily saw herself standing on top of a moon, looking out past a valley, with thousands looking upward beneath her, as she held a blue flame torch, motioning it into the air the same way an athlete of old brandishes trophies upon achieving their ultimate life accomplishment. Her vision was halted as Kevin snapped his fingers directly in front of her face, breaking her from her self-induced spell. The words that removed her from her prophecy were,
Yo, let's move, because at this point, I don't really care if Slimer comes with us or not.
The moon's eyes on the wall enlarged. If anybody were paying attention, they would have noticed that he seemed happy. Goldstar snapped back down to one world like a freshly deployed first-time soldier ready for battle. She grabbed an old book from a shelf, flipped to the last page, an empty page, and with a micron pen, she began sketching and prescribing orders.
Listen, the crane control tower is about a football field away. A chip head surely mans it. It's always operating, it never stops. Just picks up containers and places them on trains, trucks, and outbound cargo ships. So, if we can take control of the crane, we can get it to pick up my container, lift us off the ground, and boom, we'll blow this popsicle stand.
The moon was the first to respond.
I like it. I really do.
There's only one problem,
she continued.
One of us has to get to and infiltrate the control tower completely undetected.
She paused briefly, realizing the difficulty of her proposed plan.
Ah, well, now it's my turn. I used to work the cranes, actually. I was a longshoreman before the war. We had a whole underground operation. You know, Robin Hood, but like Robin for the Hood, giving back. It was legit,
boasted Kev with a sudden sense of previously inaudible pride.
I actually knew that. You told me one night at that afterlife party where we first met, don't you remember? I just wanted you to get inspired to be the hero.
Goldstar mocked.
Fuck out of here. Getting out alive is all the inspiration I need. I still got my old uniform back at my spot.
Kevin added.
Even if it looks right, my cover's gonna be blown when they realize I'm unshipped or when they try to talk to me with Mind Link.
Well, fortunately for you, we do have a chip.
She picked up the chip that the vision officer had dropped outside during the scuffle and their rapid death, and with one eye closed, held it in front of her field of view as if it were a magnifying glass.
Combine this little guy with a layer of superglue to cover the nanobots and prevent them from taking over your brain, and even more superglue to keep it attached to your head, and you're good to go.
Goldstar promoted.
All right, for the record, if this don't work, this idea kind of sucks.
The moon opened its spray paint eyes once again to contribute mission-critical intel.
Time's up.
Thanks, Rudge. Nameless goo container friend. 3, 2, 1, go!
Yelled Goldstar. Kevin burst out of the container, making a mad dash back to his own. With comedic timing in relation to the conversation,
Roger,
said Roger, putting a bow on things nicely.